Welcome to the Vineyard Church of Greater Portland podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Mario Mastin. For more podcasts and other resources, please visit www.vineyardportland.org.
So we have gathered here today on Christmas Eve morning. Not Christmas Eve Eve, but Christmas Eve morning. And we've done that to recognize and to celebrate Jesus. That's why we're here. To rejoice in this season, which is the season of Advent, as we've been thinking about over the last several weeks. A season of when we come together to worship God and think about His inbreaking. The inbreaking of God's love in the person of Jesus. That's really what Christmas is about. Actually, yesterday afternoon, my wife and I were wrapping a few presents and watching Charlie Brown's Christmas. Linus has it down. Okay? This is what Christmas is about. It's about Jesus. It's about God's inbreaking with His Son who became our Savior. And I want to think about that for a few minutes this morning. The last several weeks leading up to today as a church, we've been thinking about this season of Advent and God's inbreaking. And we've been thinking about the fact that in Jesus, God brought the power of hope, the power of peace, the power of joy. And this morning, I want to think with you a little bit about what Christmas is about in terms of the power of God's love breaking in. And I want to take just a few minutes to do that with you this morning. Because at Christmas, God broke in with His love, penetrating darkness, bringing light, shattering judgment, and bringing mercy, invading a broken world and bringing restoration. God did all of that in His Son Jesus, who we celebrate at this Christmas time. Now, the text we're going to use from the Bible for this morning is one of the most beautiful prophetic statements. Chad was talking just now about Doug's prophetic gifting, praying over the turkeys and the hams, right? Well, there was another guy with great prophetic gifting in the Old Testament scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, a guy called Isaiah, and he wrote one of the most beautiful foretellings of the birth of Christ. And I'm just going to read a portion of it for you this morning. And this is what it says. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom. I want you to see this first statement. This is really important. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, He humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, He will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders. And we can all just wait for that day, can't we? That's not in the scripture. That's just, you know, a parenthesis there. And He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. And He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. What a beautiful statement that is, a foretelling by Isaiah of Jesus' coming and His birth. Now, drawing on that prophecy and others from the ancient Hebrews in the Old Testament, it's clear that with the coming of Jesus, what's in view, full focus, is the coming of God's kingdom, which we've defined in this series over the last few weeks as the rule and reign of God. The question for us this morning, though, is what does that mean personally? The first thing it means is that today is the eve of the day of inbreaking. Because today is Christmas Eve, tomorrow is Christmas Day. And Christmas Day is the day of God's inbreaking. I said a couple of weeks ago, there's been no inbreaking of God into the human condition Like that first in breaking, the coming of Jesus, God incarnate, because that's what we celebrate Christmas to be. It means that Jesus, in Jesus, God broke into the world in the form of a little baby who would go on to become a man, who would go on to become the savior of the world into which he was born. No one else has ever done that, only Jesus. John tells us in his gospel, where he records the words of Jesus when Jesus was an adult, referring to his father and himself, Jesus said this. Listen carefully to these words. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. There's two important things here that John says that I want you to see this morning that are relevant to what this Christmas season is about in terms of the inbreaking of the power of God's love in Jesus. First, I want you to see this. For God so loved the world, John said. He did not say that God sent his Son into the world because he was so angry with the world or because he so hated the world. He sent his Son into the world because he so loved the world. The power of his love, God's love, was the catalyst for his coming in the person of Jesus. That, by the way, is what the Bible teaches about the coming of Jesus, that when Jesus came, God came in Jesus, because as Jesus said later in John 10, verse 30, as it's recorded, he said this, I and the Father are one. They are indivisible. Jesus is God. God the Father was present and the Holy Spirit in the person of Jesus when he came. For each of us, it means this, that God so loves us that he sent his one and only Son. Not that he's angry with us, not that he hates us, not that he wants to clobber us over the head, but that he was so motivated by love for us that he sent Jesus. And that says something else that's important for us in this Christmas to understand, each one of us. You are of inestimable value to God. There's nothing greater that God could have sent than his own Son, Jesus. That's the greatest gift that's ever been given. That says something about the inestimable value of that which God was seeking to purchase, to redeem, to buy back from for himself through the sacrifice of his Son. You are of inestimable value to God. God placed a value upon us that we could not even place upon ourselves, but now because of what God has done for us in Christ, we can place that value upon ourselves as well. The second thing I want you to see is this. John says this, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Christmas is the coming of Christ, and the coming of Christ is about salvation, not condemnation. When Jesus came, he came to save us, to rescue us, to buy us back to God. As Chad reminded us this morning in that opening prayer, to reconcile the world to himself, not to condemn us, not to dismiss us, to save us. God's love not only motivated him to send his Son into the world, but he did it for the purpose of our salvation. For each of us personally, that means the good news of great joy for all people, which the angels announced to the shepherds on the hillside when they told them about the coming of the birth of Christ, it means that salvation is available to each one. That's the good news of this Christmas time. That hasn't changed. That gift is still available to each one of us. Each of us can be saved personally from alienation and brokenness because of who Jesus is and because of what Jesus has done. Through the power of his love, God rescued us. God forgives us, God cleanses us, God heals us, God delivers us, and God sets us free. You know, if we're lonely, the scripture said God puts us in families. I love that promise. If we're lonely, God puts us. If you're lonely this morning, God will put you in families, in His family, the family of God. If you're poor and vulnerable, the scripture testifies, and Jesus demonstrated over and over again in His life that He will provide and He will protect, because it's the kind of passionate, merciful God He is. He invites us into a loving church community where we can experience what the Bible calls fellowship with one another and with God. He takes our broken hearts and He mends them and He makes us whole and He gives us eternal life. All of this Jesus does for us. This is what the day of inbreaking, Christmas Day, really is about. It's about Jesus, who Isaiah foretold would take those who were walking in darkness and cause them to see a great light. And upon those who were living in the land of the shadow of death, that's you and I, a light has dawned. And that light is in the person of Jesus. Now, the second thing I want you to see quickly is this morning. Jesus is God's inbreaking King. He's not just a gift to us, He is God's inbreaking King. Isaiah describes the child born in the passage we read, the son given to us, Jesus, as the one upon whose shoulders the government will be, and that He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with righteousness and justice from that time on and forever. That's the language of kingship, that He will reign, the government will rest on His shoulders, that He will sit on David's throne forever. That language is prophetic language of Jesus' kingship. This prophetic description of Jesus is a description of Him as a king. You remember part of the story that's recounted for us in the scripture is of the three wise men from the east coming to find the one who was born king? God's inbreaking in Jesus was the inbreaking of His king. If you fast forward toward the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, we're told in John's revelation of the person of Jesus Christ, he describes in this way, the ruler of the kings of the earth. You want to know who the ruler of the kings of the earth is? It's Jesus Christ, who is also described in Revelation 19:16 as King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus may have come into this world as a baby, and He did. He may have been born in ignominy in a manger. What was a manger? A box for horses and cattle to eat from. In a stable, a building kept for livestock. And He was born in obscurity on a Judean hillside somewhere. We don't even really know where that was. And a few shepherds got in on the fact that the Son of God was being born. But don't be fooled by any of that. He was and He is God's inbreaking King, the eternal King. And as King, He shows us that there is a Father in heaven who not only loves us, you and me, but that He is intent on making us, you and me, into the kind of people who experience the power of His hope, the power of His peace, the power of His joy, and the power of His great love. God's King Jesus possesses both power and authority. In fact, Jesus said when He grew to become a man, that all authority in heaven and on earth had been given to Him. Why? Because He is God's inbreaking King. The process of knowing God's King, because He's not aloof from us. He may be a king, but He's intimate and imminent to us. The process of knowing Him personally, the one who broke into this world 2,000 years ago in Judea, is one that you and I can know today, here in 2017 in Westbrook, Maine. We can know that same King. And you know, it begins with a simple word. Yes. Yes. Yes to who he is. Yes to all that he has for you personally. Yes and amen for all that he has done for us, our God in Christ. When you and I say yes to Jesus, things change. When you and I say yes to Jesus, his kingly rule and reign takes up residence in our heart and in our lives. And he begins to rule in us as God's inbreaking king, personally. And his authority and his power becomes available to us through his Spirit as he takes up a place of governance over our individual heart. And we begin, bit by bit, to become like the one who governs our heart, Jesus. The last thing I want you to see this morning is this. God's inbreaking gets rid of gloom. Gloom is not a nice thing. No one likes gloom, and God doesn't like gloom, and God's inbreaking in Jesus gets rid of gloom. The final meaning of the power of God's love is just that. What did Isaiah say at the beginning of that passage I read? No more gloom. Before Jesus came, all of humanity, Isaiah says, was in a state of distress. But with the coming of Jesus at Christmas, God got rid of that distress and the gloom that accompanies it. The gloom of walking in darkness, the gloom of living in the land of the shadow of death. Let me tell you this, there's no gloom like the gloom of darkness and death. There's no gloom like that. Darkness and death, apart from the reality of the hope and joy and peace and love in Christ, is a place of gloom. You know, one of the things I love about this time of the year in Maine is that, and don't start throwing things at me, we get this snow. I love the snow during this season. And what happens, though, with the changing of the clocks is that it lands up getting dark early. So by like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it's really getting dark and gloomy. And you're thinking, oh no, they put the changed the clocks and now it's dark. And darkness comes in and it shrouds everything, doesn't it? And by late afternoon, we're in darkness. But one of the great things about this time of the year, during the Christmas celebration, is that people light their homes and the outside of their homes with all kinds and colors of light. And you go outside your house at night, I can in the neighborhood where I live, and walk down the street, and there's all these beautiful lights inside and outside people's homes. Get in your car and drive around the neighborhood. And there's this just great kind of kaleidoscope of light everywhere. And you know what it does? It lifts that sense of gloom. The light, however small the light is, it penetrates the darkness and it lifts that sense of gloom and darkness that shrouds everything. And it kind of dispels the darkness. And that's a very simple picture, really, of what God has done for us in Christ. Christmas is a celebration of Christ, the birth of Christ, the act of God's inbreaking in Christ, and through that, you know what God did? He lit up the world. A world that was clouded and shrouded in darkness suddenly was lit up with the love of God's presence in Christ. And you know what God has been doing from that day until this and will continue to do until Jesus comes again? He lights up every human heart that is willing to be illuminated by his love, that's willing to receive him. And that's true for you and me here this morning. You do not have to live shrouded in the darkness of sin with no way out. There is a way out. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God has done what Isaiah prophesied he would do. He has honored Galilee of the Gentiles. You know what that phrase means? It means simply this, that God has honored the whole world with the sending of his Son. He had a covenant relationship with a group of people called Israel. But through the sending of the Messiah Jesus, he has honored Galilee of the Gentiles. He opened up salvation and relationship with him to the entire world. That's what he's done in Christ. You know, the power of darkness has sought and always seeks to keep us captive to gloom. It seeks to make us captive to fear and anger and so many other negative things. But when God comes in, he dispels that with the power of the light of Jesus' love. The Bible says, to those that are in Christ, we have become children of the light. John in his gospel says that we walk in the light. And you know why we become children of the light and we're able to walk in the light? Because we've been overtaken by the light of the world. Jesus said this about himself, I am the light of the world. Look at that statement. I, Jesus said, am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. If you want to walk in light, follow Jesus, because he's the light of the world. And if you do that, you will never walk in darkness. You will have the light of life. That's God's promise to each one of us personally in Jesus. So this Christmas, as on that first Christmas, 2,000 years ago, there's a light shining into a world that's gone crazy. There's a light shining into your life right now. That light is God's love in Jesus, penetrating darkness, revealing that because he came to us and because he sacrificed himself for us, there is no sin that cannot be forgiven, no pain that cannot be healed, no chain that cannot be broken. Why? Because Jesus gets rid of gloom. So as you celebrate this Christmas season, as you enjoy Christmas Day tomorrow, remember that Jesus is inviting you to be part of his kingdom of light and love, which is at work in the world right now. Yes, it broke in 2,000 years ago, but God's rule and reign is still at work right now in the world. God's inviting you into that. He wants you to be a part of his kingdom so that you personally can know his loving rule and reign in your own heart, and so that you can be an agent of bringing that light and love, that rule and reign of Christ, to others as well, so they can know it also. All you have to do is say yes, yes to Jesus.